This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to White Rabbit Podcast with Catalyst Jones, where your reality might be challenged. So leave your feelings at the fucking door and let's dive down some rabbit holes.
Liberal advisory. Truthful content.
There are children being ritualistically sodomized by deep state operatives of reptilian descent.
Reptilian? You mean like lizard people?
That's right.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years.
If you want to stop me, you're going to have to fucking kill me!
How are you, brother?
Dude, you must have been down the rabbit hole as long as I have.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this.
Eventually, you get to the juice box people.
It's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file.
We choose to go to the moon.
That was a joke about the world being flat, right?
Was it?
Excuse me. Has anybody seen a white rabbit?
And welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. Man, it has been getting cold outside and hotter in the studio. And you guys know that this new journey that I have decided to start walking down in this road of recovery. And the reason that I found recovery to begin with is through Jesus Christ, and specifically by listening to Josh Monday does Bible studies every Wednesday and Sunday, and that is on the Cult of Conspiracies channel. And I listen to that every time he puts out an episode, and I talk to him about whatever he's talking about sometimes when I have questions, and he's kind of my go-to. And anyways, Jesus led me to AA, and I've like denied AA my entire life. AA, NA, 12-step programs, fuck that, I'm better than this. I can do this on my own. I need this. And I had to pray about it, you know, like I was sitting there waiting for my sister to come and pick me up and take me to the detox center. And I'm praying, like, what do I do to stop? I don't want to drink anymore. And he led me to recovery. And anyways, I'm getting to this because in recovery, like, spirituality is a very, very strong thing. And my God of choice is the true God, and his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, came down here for our sins. And Josh Monday is baptizing me in December. And I announced this, and my buddy Hank, who is also one of the coolest people ever, he's only been on the show one time, but I know you guys remember him because he left an image in your head because he just crushed it. But he had something to say, and so I wanted to bring him on the show because I love hearing every side. And so I welcomed him to come on the show to speak about what he's going to talk to us about today in regards of getting saved. So without further ado, Hank, that is what we are talking about. But what have you been up to, brother?
Thank you, man. I'm glad to be back on the show. It's been a while, but definitely looking forward to our conversations tonight, man. I'm glad to hear that you're taking the necessary steps to get right, not only with yourself, but with our Creator, because there's nothing more important than the state of our eternal soul. But I've been doing great, man. It's been a wild journey for me. You know, last time I was on here, I was still doing the 6-4-3 double play. Kyle at Sunday Night Secret Society, me and him were doing the Sunday Night double play on Rumble, kind of a collaboration of our two shows that we live streamed on Rumble. And then I guess about a couple of weeks before Easter this year, some events triggered that led me to where I'm at today. I realized that I was being seriously spiritually attacked in my sleep, thanks to Vicky Joy Anderson. I heard her on Tony Merkel's The Confessionals, and that episode changed my life, because for the first time in a long time, I actually reached out for God and he was there, just like the scriptures tell us that it all who seek shall find. And sure enough, through that reconnection with him and through him stopping the spiritual attacks, as soon as I seriously chose to believe in him and get right again, that led me back to being baptized myself. And I've been going back to church every week. I've been really active in the church. I actually just preached my first sermon this last Sunday, and I've been able to baptize my oldest daughter. I was able to baptize one of my best friend's mom this last Sunday. It's just been an amazing turn of events over the last 6 months. And so I kicked up a new podcast called Soldiers of Christ Arise, and we're focusing on growing our faith from the scriptures. We're doing lessons almost each week. And if we're not doing lessons, then we're doing interviews with different people, talking about different aspects of Christianity. And like I've got coming up this Saturday with Brandon Kroll, we'll be doing debates over different subjects. This debate that we're going to be doing this weekend is going to be over salvation, which is our topic of discussion here tonight. And I think it's one of the most important topics that people, regardless of where they're at in their walk with Christianity, salvation is the fundamental issue, because the whole point of being a Christian is to be saved and go to heaven. But absolutely, there's a lot of different beliefs.
Let me pause you real quick, brother. And I just want to congratulate you and this new life that you've started creating for yourself. I think that is amazing. And I also wanted to congratulate you on the Soldiers of Christ Arise podcast. Is that something that's out yet, or is this something in the making?
Yes, sir. That is out. You can follow the show on Rumble if you would like to watch the three episodes that I have up now in video form, or you can follow it audio only on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Podcasts. For now, we're working on getting on Apple, but I've got an Instagram page, so Soca Podcast, S-O-C-A Podcast. And if anybody wants to send me an email, it's socapodcast@yahoo.com. But in my link tree on my
you right there, if you want to go ahead and scroll down while you're listening to this and give him a follow, everything that he just listed is right there for you, just a click away.
And if I could just shamelessly plug my link. No, you're good, brother. You're good. In my Instagram bio is my link tree, and there are links for everywhere that my content is found. But then there's also some very valuable information links to the Gospel Broadcasting Network, to the Lithia Springs Church of Christ, to World Video Bible School. And those three websites, you can find an endless amount of information over any topic that you could ever want to ask. You know, any question you ever have, those three places are troves of treasure. And I'm talking about not just content that you can interact with on the computer. Like, you can get thousands of DVDs, literatures, and most of this stuff is free. So I would definitely urge everybody that needs a little spice in their study life to go check out those links. And the last thing I'm gonna plug shamelessly is the Apologetics Press has a study Bible that I am just blown away by. $14 on apologeticspress.org. Their study Bible is the most, it does not have one drop of ink of dishonest information. Everything in the study Bible is factual. It's scriptural. And this is one of the best tools that you could have as a Christian, especially somebody who's new to reading the Bible, especially whether it be a King James or New King James Version. A lot of people have trouble with the English, you know, with the these and the thous, and I get that. But these study Bibles go a long way in helping clarify some of the more, oh, what's the word, more obscure language that you can find in your King James Bibles. But the apologeticspress.org is where you can find that study Bible. And those are, those links are in my link tree. So go check that out.
Awesome, guys. Go ahead and scroll down right now. And while you're clicking on his links, be sure to give the show a comment, a thumbs up, a five-star, whatever is down there for you guys to show a little bit of love. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you, guys. So when I said that I was going to be meeting with Josh in December to get baptized, you were like, brother, you can't wait until December. That's now, right. Regardless of whether or not I feel that I'm already saved and the baptism is just something between me and God, why do you think that we don't have till December? What's going on in the world between now and December?
Well, the truth of the matter is just let's take it in two steps. The first step, let's deal just with your person, your body, your life individually. Who knows, Catalyst, if our heart is just going to explode in the next 30 seconds, you know what I'm saying? If you've lived a life as wild as I have for 20 years and you've abused your body in just about every way imaginable, consequences catch up. And we cannot take for granted that we have tomorrow. Who knows, man? Let's say it's not even a health issue. There's, you know, there's especially in today's world where nobody really knows how to drive anymore, you know, getting on the roadways in America is much as a gamble as anything else. You know, it's dangerous business stepping out your front door, as my friends from the band Emery would say. Actually, I think that's under oath. Yeah. Yeah. So, but what I'm getting at is we cannot take for granted that we have a tomorrow. So while you're able to obey the gospel call today, you should. Now, the other reason I would give is because right now, at this moment, we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. No man knows the hour or the day that Jesus is coming back. Jesus himself doesn't even know when he's coming back. And he said that from his own mouth. Only God Almighty himself knows when he's going to send Jesus back to the earth to collect. Brother, I'm telling you, you want to know for a certainty which side of the road you're going to be standing on when them trumpets start sounding and Christ comes back on the clouds. And just like we're not guaranteed our next breath, we're not guaranteed that he won't come back. You know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds a little fearful.
Why would you say that one who truly believes is not already saved, as it says in multiple scriptures?
Because belief is not the only thing required to be saved.
So what about the
scriptures are plain about that? Okay. And I'm glad you brought this up right now, because what we have to recognize is, first and foremost, what salvation is. And according to the Oxford Dictionary, in a secular, non-biblical sense, salvation is preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. But in a theological or a biblical sense, it is deliverance from sin and its consequences believed by Christians to be brought about by faith in Christ. And while I will say that faith is absolutely important, it is not the only thing that we're told that we must do in order to be saved. Now, now that we know what salvation is, what is sin? You know, sin is transgression of the law. And that's something that's not only bound to us New Testament Christians. We can see sin from the Garden of Eden clear through the book of Revelation. Sin is something that has happened for as long as there's been man, and God has told him what to do. When man disobeys those commands, he has sinned. He has transgressed the law of God. And so that's what sin is. When we disobey God, we sin. And Romans 3:23 tells us that all men have sinned. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And like I tell my kids, a wage is something that you earn. Like I go to work and I make an hourly wage of $20 an hour. So for every hour of my life that I spend working for the company pays me $20. So by the same logic, for every sin that we commit, the wage that we earn from that is death, but not a literal death, not a physical death like we find in the Old Testament. But for us New Testament Christians, death is spiritual, meaning sin separates us from the holy presence of God, meaning we had transgressed his law, and because of such, we cannot reside with God in a state of sin. So we know what salvation is, we know what sin is. Now we need to look at what Jesus established.
Hey, brother, can I, I'm going to pause this right quick. I'm going to pause the recording. And we are back. That was just a word from Flavors of the Forest. Be sure to go to flavorsforest.com and enter promo code RABBIT. All right, what were we getting into before I rudely interrupted you, brother? I know you were going over Romans 6:23, and then when you said that, I was like, man, this is so distracting. And then that's like the last thing that I really clenched onto.
All right, my apologies. Yeah, so Romans 6:23, we're talking about the wages of sin being death. So what we earn from sinning is spiritual death, meaning it separates us from God. And because sin and God cannot exist in the same place, because God is eternally pure, is like he is the most pure being of all. I mean, he literally created everything. So when we sin, we are owed spiritual death. But we've looked at what salvation is, and we've looked at what sin is. Now, let's look at, and I know it seems like I might be going the scenic route to answering your questions, but this foundation is important for what we're discussing. We need to look at what Jesus actually came for, like besides to die, to take sin on for man and be that perfect sacrifice. Jesus established his kingdom. But that kingdom is also called the church. And we can see that. And
now, church in your eyes have to be a building that doesn't have to pay taxes to the government? Or can it be two or more people gathered talking about like this? So, I would consider church. Because it's two or more people gathered speaking the word. And so even though that we're bantering a little bit, it's still two or more people gathered. And then when this goes out, thousands of people. So would this not be a church in itself?
I'm definitely not talking about a physical institution.
Okay, cool.
What I say when Jesus died and paid for the church with his blood, what I am saying is, what I'm talking about is the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual church. So we can read about that in Acts chapter 2. And So Acts chapter 2 is the first gospel sermon that the 12 apostles preach after Jesus has ascended back to heaven. Okay. So the Holy Spirit comes on the 12 apostles, and in verse 4, it says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in different languages. These tongues weren't unintelligible, gibberings. these were, because at this, in this crowd were men of practically every nation of the established world at that time had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost and were listening to these apostles speak. And so they were speaking to thousands upon thousands of people from different nations, but they were just like I'm talking to you with one word at a time. One word was leaving the apostles' lips, but it was being heard in real time amongst every nation in their own voice, in their own language. So, and they're telling, the apostles are telling these people how Jesus came and he died and he was the Son of God and you crucified him. And that's based like in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they just hear this elaborate story about how they just crucified Jesus after he came and lived sinlessly, and it hurt, it touched them. Today, we would say it moved me. You know, it took root deep inside of them. And then they said, all right, we believe you. What do we got to do? Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this is the promise unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, Catalyst, me and you, we're the, and to all that are afar off. We are them. We're those of us who are alive today and those who come after us. And I mean, we're the ones that are afar off. That was a foreshadowing that anybody that obeys the gospel call and is
correct,
has repented and is baptized will be added to the church.
So I was going to say, because Paul says Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, because believing the gospel is what gets you saved.
Yes, you have to. But it's a belief that pushes you to obedience. And let me show you this right quick. And so we're still in Acts 2. And verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added unto them, what does that mean? Look at verse 47 of Acts chapter 2. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. So that verse tells us right there that salvation is in the church. Okay, this spiritual church that God adds you to, not man. Man cannot add you to the spiritual church of Jesus Christ. The only way to get into that church as should be saved is right there in Acts 2:38. You've got to repent of your sinful ways and you've got to be baptized. But that says nothing about belief and of confession, but we know that those are absolutely essential, because Mark 16:15-16, Jesus himself says, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but whosoever believeth not shall be damned. And we can read in Acts chapter 8 of the account of the eunuch of Philip and the eunuch. And where am I at? That's chapter 7. Acts chapter 8. We look at, yep, let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And so what happened is the Holy Spirit tells the evangelist Philip to go south from Jerusalem towards Gaza. And while he's doing so, he encounters this eunuch who's traveling and reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit tells him, hey, go join this chariot. And he does. And he hears the eunuch reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And he asks the eunuch, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, well, how can I unless somebody guides me? And it says that in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture in Isaiah 53, which is a prophetic passage in the book of Isaiah, prophesying the coming and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he said he began at that same scripture, and he preached unto him, Jesus, Philip did. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So we see right there that Philip began preaching Jesus to the eunuch. And we know because the eunuch, as soon as they come up on this certain body of water, the eunuch's like, see, there's water. What do I need to do to be baptized? But the scriptures don't say that Philip preached about baptism, but he preached Jesus, and Jesus commanded baptism for the remission of sins. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, then you may be baptized. But we know that there must have been a you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because it says that the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made this confession, and then he was baptized. And so the scriptures time and time again give us examples of people hearing the gospel preached. They have to repent, they have to confess, and they have to be baptized. And only after that baptism are they added to the church that Jesus paid for with his blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. That's and I just want to ask you this. If belief is all that you need to be saved, did belief only build the ark for Noah?
Are you trying to say baptism built it?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to say that he obeyed the commands of God, and it's because he was obedient that the ark was built.
And if you believe,
he had to believe.
If you believe, you would be obedient and obey the law, whether or not you were baptized.
Yes. No. Your belief pushes you to the obedience, and that obedience leads you to baptism. Because even Satan and the demons have a belief in Jesus Christ. They know who he is, but they're not saved.
For by the grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, is the gift of God.
Yes, sir.
Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workshops, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so that to me says, like, if you have this belief and Jesus is like the first and foremost of your thinking of what you're going to do, then, like, you know, I mean, you could baptize yourself if you absolutely had to, but what if you're walking alone by yourself, you know, like, and you come across, I'm like, this is a retarded what if, actually, because that just doesn't exist anymore. So never mind. But I have some other scriptures that I not like. Yeah, but what
let's look at this in Ephesians. I'm sorry to cut you off, but let's look at this in Ephesians right quick, because you just quoted Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. Let's ask a few questions to get some context about this passage, because it's very important, brother, to understand what you're reading was actually written to, what was going on in their lives at that time, and why was it being written. So this book, the book of Ephesians was a letter. An epistle means a letter written by Paul to the church at Ephesus. Okay. So he's writing to a specific congregation in Ephesus. And look at chapter 2, verse 2. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we know that they had been sinners. They had been walking in this world according to the traditions of man. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us up together. Now, why is that an important phrase? Because if we look, that's not even the verse that I was looking for. But if we look, what Paul is talking about, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, meaning that only through God's love for us, his gracious love for us, did he provide a way for us to be saved. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, what he's talking about here are not works across the board. He is specifically talking about works of merit, things that you could do that would make you say, God, you owe me salvation. And that's where a lot of people that push back against baptism, that's where their argument is rooted in. Oh, well, you're preaching works. You're preaching works, and I'm not. Because if that was the case, if works across the board were bad, let's go to John 6, verses 27 through 29 real quick, and let's just read what the Holy Word of God says. John 6. Verses 27 and 29. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which is the Son of Man, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So we're not to work. Is that saying we shouldn't work for real food? Of course not. That's saying what we do on this earth needs to be done towards spiritual goals, right? Because that's what we're aiming for, is spiritual salvation. Then, verse 28, then said they unto him, they're talking directly to Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And verse 29 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. Jesus Christ himself just said, believing is a work. But hold up, so Catalyst, hold up. No, I'm saying that Jesus Christ himself said that you actually, that your belief is actually a work. It's actually something that you have to do. And so in that same vein, the rest of the things that Jesus have commanded us to do unto salvation should not be looked at as works of merit, but works of obedience, because he has told us to do these things. If we truly believe Jesus Christ in our heart and love him to the point of if in this Bible, it said, in order to be saved, you have to dress up like a one-eyed, one-horned, giant purple people eater, well, then I guess I'm going to have to dress up as a one-eyed, one-horned, giant purple people eater. Not because the dressing up will save me, but it's because it's whatever God commands you have to do. And so when Jesus in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 say, believe and be baptized, when the apostles who are speaking by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus sent to them, when they say repent and be baptized, so now we've got belief, repentance, and baptism, but then we can read Philip telling the eunuch that in order to be baptized, he needs to believe with all his heart. And then Jesus himself said, whoever confesses me before man, will I confess before my Father. So confession's in there. Well, brother, that's five things that we're told that go towards salvation. And any one of them being omitted cancels out salvation. Because if you don't do any one of those things, you have not done what Jesus commanded. And if you haven't done what Jesus commanded, you can't be saved. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, and you get into Jesus Christ through the watery grave of baptism.
Oh,
let me Google this right quick. Put on okay, Christ.
Well, is that going to change the subject? Are you changing the subject or not subject, but verse?
No. Yes, we're going to be going to Galatians 3:27.
Okay. And what I was saying is so just me
at any time.
When I said, well, I'm trying not to because of the delay in our that we're having here. But what I was going to say when I was saying just one is, yes, you actually confirmed what I was asking is so it's just one of the works, meaning like not it's just one thing in a bag of many that you need to do.
Yes. I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question. Yes. The according to the commandments of the New Testament, there are five things that you must do in order to be saved. You must hear the word of God. You must believe the word of God. You must repent, literally cut out the sinful ways. If it's causing you to sin, don't do it. Strive every second of every day to not sin. You must make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you must be baptized, fully immersed into water, because the Greek word baptizo means immersed. And just like you don't go to a cemetery and see fingers and toes and noses sticking out, you can't have any, you have to be in the water. And Galatians 3:27 tells us, for as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. We have to be baptized into Christ because we're baptized into his death. And through, just like God raised Jesus out of that tomb, when we are in that watery grave of baptism, God covers us with the blood of Jesus, and that blood that we come into contact, spiritually speaking. I'm not sitting here saying that when you're in the water literally transforms into the blood of Jesus and literally washes you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that because if you find yourself in that watery grave of baptism, having heard, believed, repented, and confessed, that you've upheld your end of what God told you to do. What Jesus told you to do. And he said that if you will do this, I will wash you with the blood of Jesus and I will add you into the church. Just like we read back in Acts 2, where God added them to the church as should be saved. So it's not that the baptism earns our salvation. It's not that the baptism gives me right to say, God, you owe me salvation. It's we were told to do it. And if we obey and follow, then God will uphold his end of the deal.
And follow is the key word right there too, because how many people have you met in your life that have been baptized and live like a complete opposite of walking with Christ?
Absolutely. Because that's another misconception that the world has, is that once saved, always saved. Once you're in salvation, you can't lose your salvation. But my friend, that's not the truth.
Right, because every sin that you commit is the further away that you separate yourself from God.
Yes.
And that's why, like the addictions that I have in my life is why I'm like so dead set on getting rid of all of them. Because each time you commit one of those sins, you're separating yourself from God. So it's like that old Paula Abdul song is like, you take one step forward, but then you take two steps back every time you sin. So it's like, it's a bad cycle to get yourself into.
Sure. But that's why it's so important to recognize sin. And when you recognize sin, you repent. Because I've been baptized, I believe that I reside within the spiritual church of Jesus Christ. But when I sin, I have separated myself from that church. But in order to get back in, I don't have to be baptized again. I need to repent again of what I was doing. And I need to go to God in prayer, confess to him my sins, and beg him for forgiveness. And if I'm truly of a repentant heart asking for forgiveness, then I believe God restores me to salvation and puts me back into that spiritual church of Christ. Let me read to you Romans, out of Romans chapter 6, starting, let's just start at the top of the chapter, starting Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So just like Jesus was raised from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, God raises us out of that watery grave of baptism that we just read about in verse 3. We were baptized in, like verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. And while we're buried, when we come into contact with that spiritual blood that Jesus shed on the cross by God, it washes us of our sin, meaning every sin that we've committed up to the point of us in the water is literally stricken out of the book of life. Like all of the bad marks that we had by our name up to that point, God doesn't just forgive them. He forgets them, my brother. He does not hold it against you anymore. And when you come out of that water, you are a new being. You are clean as snow. But everything you do from that point forward is now going to be held against you unless you confess it, repent and confess. And that's a cycle that will continue on a daily basis as needed, you know.
Another thing too is I kind of not got mad, but in a funny way, Josh Monday, he was reading from scripture on one of my episodes and he was like, now that you know this, you know, like, you, there is no, you'll be held accountable because you know this now. And I'm like, dang it, Ricky Bobby, don't you put that on me. Don't you put that evil on me, boy. And like, it's just one of those things. The why I think I've been holding off on getting baptized is because now I'm held accountable. And like, there's still things in my life that are sinful.
You can't do that, brother. You can't do that. God doesn't need you to be perfect before you come to him. He needs you to come to him so he can make you perfect. Just like we read back in Acts chapter 8, when Philip preached to the eunuch, as soon as the eunuch saw water that was deep enough for him to get baptized, he stopped the chariot and was like, baptize me now. There was no waiting. We can look at Acts chapter 16 and we can read of Paul and Silas. They get locked up in prison. And they're in the city of Philippi. And while they're in prison, they start singing and praying to God out loud. And it creates this miraculous earthquake that shakes the doors of the prisons open. Their chains fall off of them. And the jailer ultimately says, what do I need to do to be saved? And then Paul and Silas preach to him. And it says in verse 32, and they, Paul and Silas, spake unto him, the jailer, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. So they not only preached to this jailer, they preached to the people in his house. And he took them, the jailer took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. They repented. That's a fancy way for saying they repented. And was baptized, he and all his, straightway. That means immediately. As soon as they heard the word of God, they believed it. They repented of their sins. And we know because of the account of Philip and the eunuch, they had to make the same confession that they believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they were baptized immediately. There was no delay. brother. We have to do Bible things in Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names. And in doing Bible things in Bible ways, that means if we read where somebody was preached to and they were baptized immediately, that's how we should do it. Because these are the first century Christians. This is the birth of the church that Jesus died for. And so we need to pattern ourselves off of the examples given in Scripture. These people did not wait. They weren't preached to, and then they believed it and said, well, you know what? I'm going to wait until next month when I learn a little bit more. No, they were baptized immediately. And anybody who tells you that it's okay to wait either doesn't understand the seriousness of what's going on, or they're just straight up lying to you, because there is an absolute urgency to your eternal soul. Because right now, brother, if you haven't been saved according to how the Scriptures have told us, you're not saved. And that means if Jesus were to come back right this second, if you're not in Christ, you're not going to be in heaven. And that's one of the hardest things.
I got 9 minutes before I got to be at my next thing. But
sure.
I asked you to come on and kind of plead your case because I disagreed with you. And I have to say, you did a pretty darn good job, brother. Like, I do have one more one more verse for you. I did have a bunch of them, but we're not going to be able to get to all of them. I wanted your take on Corinthians 15, 1-4. And I can read that to you, but and I'm sure the context is also more important, like you said earlier. Who is he talking to and the circumstances of that? And so it says, Corinthians 15, 1-4 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you that the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you."
Yep. Yes, sir. I'm not going to.
In context of it, and I always like to say to people, you can't throw one scripture out and just keep the ones that you like. And I am going to take my own advice here, and you definitely provided some scriptures that back your case, and I think you did an amazing job. I'd love to have you back on when we have some more time, bro. And
absolutely.
And
we can
dig deep into, if you want to stay on this topic, whatever, but I want you to know you have an open seat here on White Rabbit whenever you want to come and speak the word.
That's amazing, man. Look, I'm gonna give you one more passage for you to look up. 1 Peter 3:20-21. My friend, I understand that people will tell you that all you need is a simple faith in Jesus Christ. You need to say a prayer and ask him to come into your heart. But the truth of the matter is, Kat, is that not one person in the New Testament was told to do that to be saved. I've read you several examples tonight of people asking, "What must I do to be saved?" And then we've heard that you've got to believe, you've got to repent, you've got to confess, and you have to be baptized. Because if you're not in that watery grave of baptism, you cannot come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. And if you haven't done so, you haven't been cleansed of your sins. And if you haven't been cleansed of your sins, you can't be added into the church. And if you're not in the church, you don't have salvation. Salvation is only in the church. And I'm not talking about a physical four walls building. I'm talking about that spiritual church that God added those 3,000 souls to, as we found in Acts chapter 2. Brother, I thank you for inviting me on. I thank you first and foremost for being willing to hear what I have to say. Not many people that don't believe that baptism is necessary is even willing to have this conversation or hear an opposing view. So thank you, brother. Thank you for listening. And I urge you to just study the scriptures that I've talked about, and I can provide you with more examples when we, you know, in the future, whenever. And I'm always willing to come on and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the most important thing that we could ever talk about.
I love it, brother. Thank you so much for coming on and doing that. And of course, I'm going to hear you out, man. I'm a conspiracy junkie. And in doing so, been proven right and wrong like multiple times throughout my life. I used to believe that we lived on a globe, and I thought that flat earth was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard in my life. And I don't know where you do stand on that. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, regardless of which way you side on it. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of things that I've been wrong about in my life. And it would be really dumb of me to just stick to what I know without looking into more information if it's out there.
That's right. If I could just leave the listeners with anything, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. If you aren't reading the book, you aren't learning the book. And the only answers that you could ever hope to find are in that Bible. Get in the scriptures. Ephesians 6:10-18 tells us that the scriptures and our knowledge of the scriptures are a suit of armor that we can put on and wear into this battle that we're in, because we're in a war, Catalyst. You know this. Every single day we're in a war for our souls. So armor up. Read your Bible.
Yes, sir. And armor up before you leave the house every day. You can't get anywhere without your car keys, just like you can't get anywhere without that armor on. And brother, I believe that the topic of tonight deserves to be ended in prayer. And I would love it if you would take us out in prayer.
I'd be honored. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and all its many blessings. Dear Lord, we thank you most of all for sending your Son to this earth to die on that cross so through him we might have hope of eternal life in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that we've spoken here tonight have been pleasing to you, and I pray that your truth be made known above all things. Don't let it be my truth. Don't let it be any man's truth, but let it be your truth. And I pray that if we find that truth, that we believe it and apply it directly to our lives so that we can be living according to thy will. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would keep us safe, guide us, guard us, and protect us through all walks of life. And I ask that you would forgive us of our sins, dear Lord. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Guys, go check out the Soldiers of Christ Arise podcast. And I have all those links down there for you to go ahead and scroll down right now. Hank, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for coming on White Rabbit. And like you did the first time, you blew me away once again. So with that, we're going to end this the way we always do. And that is keep digging down those rabbit holes.
Peace.
To shatter the matrix, Catalyst on the mic exposing fake and gay shit. Conspiracy junkies, we don't fuck with no sheep.
Awaken the lions, let the weak stay asleep. Follow the rabbit down the hole we go. Are we stuck in the matrix? Shit, I don't know. Secrets revealed, all lies exposed. Catalyst Jones will never be controlled.
Flat earth whispers cut the mainstream's haze. MK Ultra's grip, minds locked in a maze. Hollywood's veil, coded scripts in the frame. Peel back the
system's design, whispers in the dark where the secrets align. Rip through the code, I'm done with their plan. Unplug my soul, I'm a free fucking man.
Zionist circles plot, powers it in the vault. Truth buried deep, but I'm calling their fault. Call me anti-Semitic, go ahead, fuck it, that's fine. Got no feelings for your feelings, truth's my only line.
Follow the rabbit down the hole we go. Are we stuck in the matrix? Shit, I don't know. Secrets revealed, all lies exposed. Catalyst Jones will never be controlled.
No cage, no script, no system sold. Truth's my weapon and my story's told.